Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger finds the perpetrator of a Ponzi scheme. A Northeast Georgia county issues a moratorium on new detention centers and data centers. And Colin Gray, the father of the accused Appalachie High School shooter, took the stand in his own defense this morning.
I don't know if anybody could ever see that kind of evil. And I, like, the cult I knew, the relationship I had, there's this whole other side of cult I didn't know existed.
Today is Friday, February 27th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Colin Gray, the father of the accused Appalachie High School shooter Colt, took the stand in his own defense this morning. His attorneys questioned him for more than 2 hours. GPB's Chase McGee has more from the courtroom.
Colin Gray spent the morning refuting allegations that he was a negligent or absent father. Instead, he recounted his family's troubled history with multiple moves, his wife Marcy's drug addiction, and an episode where she threatened to kill him and their son Colt. He ended by saying he thought he had a trusting relationship with Colt, who's now been charged with the killing of 2 students and 2 teachers.
I don't know if anybody could ever see that kind of evil. And I, like, the Colt I knew, the relationship I had, there's this whole other side of Colt I didn't know existed.
Afterwards, prosecutors cross-examined Gray, where they asked him about several instances where Colt had severe anger or behavioral issues going back as far as first grade. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Georgia's top securities regulator is fining the president of the Georgia Republican Assembly, a right-wing political organization, $500,000 for his alleged role in a $140 million Ponzi scheme that touched the top ranks of GOP politics in the state. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announced the fine on Wednesday against Timothy Darnell. Darnell is accused of directing 45 people to invest in the now-defunct First Liberty Building and Loan, a Noonan-based lending firm with ties to the Republican Party. Raffensperger told GPB's lawmakers last night that he recently appointed a special agent to advance Georgia's investigation into the alleged fraud.
And so Jason Doss now has been equipped and empowered that he has subpoena power, he's got deposition power, and he also has a team of forensic auditors. And so they're following the money trail.
Raffensperger's office referred its findings on Darnell to state prosecutors. Federal investigators say the company, led by influential Republican Brant Frost IV, defrauded at least 300 investors. In other news from Georgia politics, the state house passed several bills yesterday aimed at reining in insurance costs. GPB's Sarah Callis has that story.
The package of 4 bills would increase penalties on insurance companies for violating parity laws, streamlines the claims process after storms, and cracks down on penalties for uninsured drivers. Representative Matt Reeves is the chair of a special committee that met in the off-season to study insurance rates and the sponsor of House Bill 1344.
This bill does good things from good ideas from around the country that is working elsewhere.
He says lawmakers look to neighboring states for inspiration to protect Georgia insurance consumers. All 4 bills were passed nearly unanimously and now move to the Senate for their approval. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the state capitol.
Georgia Republicans have filed legislation to partially overhaul Georgia's election system. Cumming Republican State Senator Greg Dolezal sponsored the bill introduced yesterday.
Functionally, this gets rid of the Dominion machines and moves us to a paper ballot.
Along with moving elections to a hand-marked paper ballot system, the legislation would reduce the trigger for an automatic recount and reassign the responsibility of recounting ballots to the state election board instead of the Secretary of State. It also would assign voters to an early voting location instead of allowing them to vote early at any polling location in the county. Augusta Democrat State Minority Leader Harold Jones opposes the bill.
Once again, the Republican Party is trying to suppress votes.
Counties would be on the hook to pay for equipment to count hand-marked paper ballots, not the state. Dolezal says the new rules would take effect in time for the November general election. His bill would need approval by a legislative committee before making it to the Senate floor. And if any bill is not passed by at least the House or the Senate by the end of next week, it will die for the session. That's called crossover day, when bills have to cross over to the other chamber in order to stand a chance of making it into law. Host Donna Lowry of GPB's Lawmakers told host Pamela Kirkland of GPB's Morning Edition about major legislative priorities for 2026 that still haven't gotten through at least one chamber.
Well, one bill everyone expected to pass actually yesterday in the Senate deals with commercial data centers. The legislation SB 34 that would prevent a utility company from passing along the cost of electrical service to its customers did not make it to the floor yesterday. So we can possibly see that next week. And Pamela, of course, we can always expect surprise legislation that will be up for a vote in one chamber with a chance to cross over to the other. And all of this anticipation and surprises make the day more interesting, of course.
There's no lawmakers tonight because the General Assembly wasn't in session today, but you can still get the latest from Under the Gold Dome anytime at gpb.org/lawmakers. Commissioners in Northeast Georgia's Hall County have approved a 180-day moratorium on new detention centers, adding them to a broader pause on certain high-density developments and data centers. The move follows the Department of Homeland Security's purchase of a property in Oakwood for a proposed ICE detention facility. In public comments, resident Juan Morfa warned about potential consequences if the project moves forward.
If something happens and something terrible happens there, that's going to be on all of us. You understand? All of us.
Commissioners said they have received no direct communication from federal officials about the project. They also raised concerns about infrastructure, including sewer capacity and environmental impacts. The vote is unlikely to stop ICE's plans because the federal government is generally not bound by local zoning laws. Leaders in the city of South Fulton started demolition on a condominium complex yesterday. GPB's Amanda Andrews tells us why four buildings are being torn down.
Homeowners at Camelot Condominiums have been waiting 8 years for this demolition. A combination of HOA fraud scandals, house fires, and deferred maintenance have left the complex in a state of disrepair. Candia Perry has lived in Camelot since 2012. She says she'd like to see more support for displaced owners.
They don't show enough care for the people that are here. We got people that have been here 40 years, and this is where they planned on dying and leaving their property to family members or kids.
South Fulton will continue demolishing buildings in Camelot over the next 2 weeks. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
A federal appeals court has dismissed a major case in the long-standing legal battles over water shared between Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. The decision last week completes a 2023 settlement over the long-standing water wars and, for the first time in decades, means the states are not in litigation. But the Apalachicola Riverkeeper and two other groups are still fighting. Riverkeeper Cameron Baxley says management of Atlanta area water is harming downstream users.
It seems almost like a never-ending thing. I was born and raised in Alabama, so my whole life I've known the water wars.
Georgia leaders hailed the 2023 agreement as a landmark of cooperation. Atlanta-based pizza restaurant chain Papa John's says it's looking to close 300 underperforming restaurants across North America. Papa John's says the company's revenue remained stagnant last year at $2.1 billion, and while global sales were up 1%, sales in North America were down 2%. The locations slated for closure are primarily franchise-owned and more than a decade old. The company says 200 closures will happen this year, with the remaining 100 to close in 2027. Kia's first hybrid electric vehicle ever assembled in the state of Georgia rolled off the assembly line Tuesday at the company's West Point facility in West Georgia. The Kia Telluride was the 5 millionth vehicle produced at Kia Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp attended a ceremony along with other state and community leaders. Since beginning production in 2009, Kia Georgia has grown into one of West Georgia's largest employers. Wellroot Family Services is now offering behavioral health care services for individual, group, and family therapy at clinics in DeKalb and Hall counties. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
The behavioral health centers, now open in Tucker and Gainesville, offer individual, group, and family therapy. They also provide psychiatric care, counseling, and teach clients life skills. Christina Lennon is with Wellroot Family Services. She says access to treatment reduces the risk of substance misuse and lessens the need for emergency mental health care.
We know that when a child is in a trauma-informed environment, right, and believes that they're safe, believes that there's someone listening to them, believes there's someone they can talk to, it's basically a vaccine for future trauma.
Lennon says the ultimate goal is to keep families together, and they offer a parenting coaching program. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport has unveiled a new permanent exhibit highlighting the airport's century-long evolution. titled Blue Skies, 100 Years of the Atlanta Airport. The exhibit chronicles the airport's first commercial flight in 1926 to its position as the world's busiest airport. The exhibit explores major milestones, including the growth of Delta Airlines, the airport's role during the Civil Rights Movement, and the airport's ongoing expansion and modernization. Featured artifacts include historic airline uniforms and signage, and an original rotating beacon once mounted atop Atlanta's control tower. The Braves are now 1 month away from the start of the new baseball season. Hopes for a better season will be high when the gates open at Truist Park on March 27th as the Bravos take on the Kansas City Royals. For the moment, the Braves are in Florida, where spring training games have been underway for about a week. What do we know so far about how the team is shaping up? Let's begin with pitching. Starter Chris Sale is doing fine, putting up a few scoreless innings against the Twins last weekend. Spencer Strider, who has lost playing time to arm and then leg injuries in the past two seasons, is scheduled to take the mound for the first time tomorrow. Ronaldo Lopez and Grant Holmes will be back in action this year. Spencer Schwellenbach is going to miss the first 2 months of the season after having surgery on his arm this month. Ditto Hurston Waldrop. And if those names don't mean much to you, know this. A strong starting pitching rotation is really, really important. And Braves fans have been longing for the team's front office to buy some stability. However, this offseason, the Braves made no big moves for starters. That's why when the Braves reported this week incredibly healthy cash flow for 2025, some were inclined to blame the front office for the lackluster performance the team has given on the field as of late. Consider these comments from former Braves beat reporter for The Athletic, David O'Brien. Brian said on X, "To me, it's simple, and the Braves won't say this. The team's execs always try to be both highly competitive while also staying as immensely, and I mean immensely, profitable as possible. Could have spent $15 million to $20 million on a starter and traded one in the spring if you still had too many." How much the Braves would have had to spend to pick up an available starter these last few months is hard to say. As things stand now, we may see a few of the aforementioned veterans take the mound, plus maybe Bryce Elder, Joey Wentz, or maybe a rookie like J.R. Richie, who has so far pitched well in spring training. As for offense, Ronald Acuna Jr. seems healthy. The underperforming Marcelo Ozuna has been shipped off to the Pirates. Jurickson Profar, we hope, has not been dabbling in the performance-enhancing drugs that cost him half of his 2025 season. And Matt Olson? Well, he is likely to be at first base, where he has been for every game since May 2nd, 2021, the longest active consecutive game streak in baseball. Expect spring-like temperatures across the state this weekend. Sunny in low 60s in Blue Ridge, mid-60s to low 70s in Macon and Savannah, and the same in Albany and Valdosta. Perfect weather to get outside and enjoy some of the wonderful festivals and activities across the state. Here are a few for you to consider. Dublin's month-long St. Patrick's celebration continues this weekend and includes the Pig in the Park Barbecue Championship featuring music from American Idol runner-up Will Mosley. Celebrate Mardi Gras in Augusta with the Fat Tuesday Food and Music Festival at Evanstown Center Park. The February Vintage Market is happening in downtown Braselton, and the 14th Annual Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue Festival will be held at Atlantic Station in Atlanta. And that's a wrap on Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember to come back on Monday. We'll be back on Monday afternoon. And the best way to remember to join us is to subscribe to this podcast. It's easy to do wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also visit gpb.org/news for updates to any of the stories you heard today. If you've got feedback, we'd love to hear from you. The best way to reach us is by email. Send one to georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.